One thing in life we realize is there are those things that are in our control and those things that are out of our control. And as we're reminded, as we rely on technology for getting worship to you, that there are those things in our control and there are those things that are not in our control, and how well our Spectrum internet service is coming into the church to be able to send the video out is not in our control. And so we just ask for prayers that the internet will smoothly come in and that the video will smoothly go out. And once again, we give incredible thanks to our audio video crew that works so hard and is so dedicated at doing absolutely everything they can to make sure that worship is getting out to you. And be reminded that anything you may miss because of glitches or issues, all of the audio is being recorded, and by tomorrow morning will be up on the website that you can listen to each of the clips of the pieces of worship to catch anything that you missed. And so remember that that is there, those gifts that keep giving all week long through worship. But with that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we were having a family night at the house one night this week. I apologize, the kids did not help me cook, but the kids were helping me with a project in the backyard, so we did have some good family working together time. But we were looking for a little relaxation, and we thought, well, why don't we watch a movie together? And we're flipping through Netflix, searching for something to watch. It's like a million movies on there, but none of them look good, right? Have you ever had that experience? And here we're going, and all of a sudden, what do I see but the live-action Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers? And I was like, ooh, I've never watched this one. I said, have you guys watched this one? And they all said, no, we haven't. I said, well, it's Cat in the Hat week at church. Why don't we watch the Cat in the Hat movie? Here, I thought it was a great idea, and it turned into what I call a terrible idea. Why? Because I, being a purist in how I love Cat in the Hat, could not take the way that they interpreted the book and what they did to it. They added extra characters. They added extra plot lines. They changed how the characters were. They changed what the spirit of the book was in my mind. And I thought, how could they do this to the Cat in the Hat? How could they do this to my beloved Dr. Seuss? We actually didn't even finish watching the movie because it was just too much for us. I've done this with movies. I love books, and I love when they take books into movies. And sometimes I'm harder than I should be on in their interpretation, and sometimes there's just those moments where you say, they did it. They just perfectly put that book on film. Are you like that? Do you do that when they turn books into movies or TV shows, or when they use them as bits and pieces of things? Well, there's one book that we do this to, right? This book right here. But it's not necessarily just Hollywood. But there's how in our lives, how we live, how we speak, that determines how we represent this book. And there's some people in their lives that twist and change and manipulate and push into a box the gospel to fit their needs, to fit what they want it to be. There's those times that the gospel is used to justify hate. There are times that the gospel is used to justify discrimination and injustice. There are times that the gospel is used to justify what we want and what suits our needs, no matter what it's doing to another beloved child of God. Sometimes we turn it into Swiss cheese, taking the pieces we like and literally cutting out the pieces that we don't. But it's not fair to do that to the gospel. We need, as Christians, to understand the fullness of it, the spirit of it, the innocence of it, the real, true meaning of what it is, just as much as we do to the Cat in the Hat and other books that we read and love. So how do we keep the spirit of the gospel intact? How do we ensure that we're representing it the way that God would want us to, the way that Christ lived it? And the answer is that we have to personally know Christ and seek to live the gospel following his example. When I was trying to think about examples of when people have taken the gospel and lived it in ways that aren't necessarily into its spirit, I thought of a movie that I watched a couple decades back now. And it was a movie by the name Saved. And in this movie, it takes place in this highly evangelical Christian school where everything's about representing Christ, and it's over the top in the way that they're called to live their faith life. And here are the members of the praise group who wear a pin to show that they're part of that praise group so that everybody can see and admire them for the way that they lead worship and are examples of Christ. Well, at one point, one of them gets pregnant, and the leader of the group is determined to get her back on course, determined to get her back in the grace of God and living her the way that she's supposed to. And at one point, she takes it so far that they kidnap this girl, pulling her into a van. And when they bring her out of it, she calls out the leader on how it is that she's loving Jesus through her actions. And the main character, played by Mandy Moore, who of course has her Bible in her hand to try to thump into the girl about following Christ, takes the Bible and throws it at her and screams, "I am filled with Christ's love. You're just jealous of my success in the Lord." Here she was, trying to take the gospel message and bring it into another person, but in her mission and her actions was flawed in how she was reading it and treating another person. This is not what we're called to do. We're not called to put it into the box that we want. We are called to live it authentically in the way that Christ did. And to do that, we have to become followers of Christ, seeking to walk in his footsteps and living the example that he showed. And where do we start? I would say that if we want to be followers of Christ, we have to start where he started, starting with his mother, Mary. Here we have, when we look at the mother in Cat in the Hat, who was the mother but a character that just comes in the very beginning and just comes at the very end. But who is the mother in the Cat in the Hat? But she's the one that establishes the rules. Here's what you can and can't do. Stay within these bounds. Stay out of trouble and keep the house clean. She is the establishment, right? She's the foundation of the parameters of how you can live. But then here we have Mother Mary. And who is Mother Mary? But she's the one that calls herself blessed when she realized that she is called to bear the child of God. She calls herself blessed. And then what does she do? She sings the most beautiful of songs, the Magnificat. I love when this gets sung at Christmas. I love hearing the words. Here coming out of this young mother, here coming out of this young woman who wasn't ready to be a mother, what wasn't within the rules and the parameters of society for her to be having a child at the time that she did. But she calls herself blessed. And she talks about a great reversal that will be happened, where the lowly will be lifted up. And we see here at the beginning of who Christ is and the gospel message, the message that things will be turned upside down, that things will be changed, that those who were the lowly, whether in status or by spirit, will be lifted up through Christ. That there will not be those left out. There will not be those left behind. There will not be those who are not good enough or fitting the standards. But here comes the gospel in human and godly form, coming to lift the lowly up, coming to change things, coming to make all things new. But it's only the beginning with the mother, right? Because once we've established the foundation through Mary, then we have to look at Christ himself, to look at who he was, to look at what he did, to really, truly, and fully understand the one we call Christ, the one we call Savior, the one that we lift up in this Easter season. And before we look at Christ, let's look at this wacky, amazing cat, right? Here he comes, bounding in the house, full of joy, full of spirit, ready to live life in the fullness, no matter what the rules might be, right? He says, come and follow me, and let's have some fun. Let's cause some trouble. Let us enjoy this day, despite the rain, despite being caught inside. Here he brings his followers, thing one and thing two. He defies the odds, juggling things, ignoring the fish that keep saying, but the rules say this, but the rules say this. Am I allowed to call the fish a Pharisee? Because that's what I see of that fish. The Pharisee says, but the rules say you can't pick grains on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, but I need to eat, right? The cat says, but we need to have fun. You need to be kids. You need to enjoy this day. And in so much the same way, here comes Christ. Here comes Christ, and he comes bounding into Galilee, not with a goofy red and white hat, but he comes with a heart and a spirit and a mission to change things, to mix things up, to defy the odds, to bend the rules and take care of the people. He goes to the fishermen, the lowly, the normal, the non-spectacular fishermen, and he says, come follow me. Let's have some fun. Let's change some lives. Let's do something spectacular together. And the fishermen, unlike the kids, don't hesitate, don't resist, but they jump right on board. It says at once they left their nets. Whatever it was about Christ, the spirit of him, the way he spoke, the way he stood, whatever it was, it screamed trust. It screamed faithfulness and loyalty, where those fishermen were willing to leave everything to follow him. And what did they do? They did amazing things. They fed the masses. They healed the sick. They rose the dead. They gathered people by the thousands to hear a message of hope and life and love and newness through God that was offered through Christ. In so many ways, it was mayhem. In so many ways, Jesus did create a mess everywhere that he went. A mess that upset the Pharisees, a mess that upset the Sadducees, but it didn't matter because nothing was going to stop him from his mission of reaching as many people as possible with the gospel message. So here we go on this journey. Here we go as the rules were broken for the sake of the mission. And Jesus says, follow me, be a disciple. Let's do this work together. And so the gospel is what? The gospel is what compels us to do good. The gospel is embodied in the feeding of the 5,000. If we want to know about our call of who we are as disciples, look at the feeding of the 5,000. When the disciples say, Jesus, the people are hungry. We need to send them away. Jesus, look, there's an injustice that's happening. People are hungry. People have needs. People that have to have the most basics of necessities offered to them. Let's send them away. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't send them away. He doesn't send them off to their homes or the grocery stores to go scavenge and see what they could find. But Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, I have a plan of how they're to be fed, and that plan is you. Go and feed the people. Go and take care of them. And when we seek to understand what the gospel is, when we seek to understand what this message is for us, it's right there. Jesus saying, follow me, and now go and serve one another. A few days ago, I was going to the store. I just needed like one simple item, but here I went out to get it. Minding my own business, getting ready to walk in, and right there next to the machine where you can fill your 5-gallon jugs with water was a man. He was a man that looked like a man in need. And as I was passing him, he said, excuse me, ma'am. And I said, yes, sir, because I call everybody sir. Unless they're a ma'am, then I call them a ma'am. But I said, yes, sir. And he said, is there any chance when you go in there that you'd be willing to get me one of those little meals that has the crackers and the cheese and the meat that people give kids? I said, you mean a Lunchable? He said, yeah, one of those. Would you be willing to get me one of those? And my heart broke for this man. To think about him having to beg people as they went in for a measly little thing of crackers and cheese and meat that in no way would fill this grown man, would no way take care of the nutritional needs that he has for that moment, let alone that day. So my response to him was, if you really want one of those Lunchables, I'll buy you one of those Lunchables, or I can go in and get what I need, and just a few doors down is a Mexican takeout place, and I'd be willing to get you a burrito. I think that's a better option. And his jaw dropped and his eyes went big, and he said, you would do that for me? And I said, you deserve a good meal just as much as me. I'd be willing to get you a burrito. He said, okay. He was awfully excited. So I went in and I got my thing and I came back out. And I said, so you still want that burrito, right? He said, yeah. He says, what do I do? Where should I go? What do I need to be? And I said, just stay right here, and I'll go get the burrito and bring it back to you. I asked what kind of meat he wanted. He couldn't believe that I would give him his option of what kind of meat that he would want. But there I went. I got a burrito for him and a burrito for me, and I came back and I gave it to him. And he was so humbly thankful for this burrito. The fact that I would do that for him. And he told me his story. I asked him his name. He told me his name, told me he was born right here in Torrance, went off and served his country, and then back here to Torrance all his life he had lived. We had a moment of connecting of humanity. Why? Because God stirred my heart with a need. And I was willing to be a disciple, to show love and grace to this man who deserved a meal just as much as I did. And for me to see that there's a way I could provide that. I couldn't solve all his problems. I couldn't handle a whole week's worth of food. But I could take care of that moment. And I could take care of him. And so I did. And I want to believe that in that moment, the gospel was lived. The gospel was real. The gospel was embodied in that moment. For me, to be changed by Corey, and for Corey to be changed by me, even in that moment. So when we stop and ask, what is the gospel? When we ask about a moment where the gospel is, we look for grace and we look for love. And if it's grace-filled and love-filled, most likely the gospel. If it's looking at hate, if it's looking at inclusion, if it's feeding the flames of injustice, we must stop and ask if that's truly Christ, if that's truly the gospel that means good news. It's not something for us to twist to fit our needs. It's something to twist us to fulfill the needs of Christ in this world for ourselves and for one another. Gandhi is quoted as saying, "Be the change you want to see in this world." If we want this to be a world with hope, if we want this world to be one of light in dark times, if we want this world to be more loving and giving and caring, then it must start with us. It must start with us allowing Christ to be in our hearts and seeking to follow him as closely as we can. There's a great preacher by the name of Rob Bell, and I heard him preach, it's just about 20 years ago now, but what he said has stuck in my brain for all of that time. He talked about when rabbis would preach in Jesus' time. We're talking dusty, dirty roads and sandals that they would wear. And what happens when you wear sandals in the dirt? It kicks that dirt up, right? Flip-flops, it flips that dirt right up, right? That's how I see it. And he talked about the rabbis that would have their students, and the students would just follow along right behind them. Makes me think like little ducklings. And as they would walk, the rabbi would teach, and the students would hear. And the best of the students would be the ones that got to stand the closest to the rabbi. And here Jesus is our rabbi, our teacher. And we're called to follow him as closely as we can, seeking to be that child that wants to step right in mom and dad's footprints, following right along beside them. And what does Rob Bell tell us? But he says, follow Jesus so closely that the dust of his sandals are covering you. Are you living in such a way to seek to be covered in Christ's dust, to live so closely that love and grace is what seeps from your pores, that when you see somebody in need, it's not thoughts of just judgment, but that it's a broken heart and a compelling to help? Are we living the gospel in such a way that we are a beacon of hope for people around us? That when people think of us, that they think about the love that we show and the depth of grace that God models for us? Because what do we see at the end of this book? Despite all of the mess that the cat and thing one and thing two created, the disaster in that house, at the end of the day, the cat cleans every bit up. There's no more mess left. It's just a clean slate for those two kids as mom comes home. Christ at the end of his book, what happens? But he cleans up the mess. But unlike the cat, it's not the mess that he made. It's the mess that we made. All of our mistakes, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of the ways that we could have done better, he took to the cross and he cleaned up for us. And he says, repent. Seek forgiveness. Seek to turn to the path God desires for you to be on. And through the cross, it is all possible. The mess cleaned up, the clean slate gifted, the new chapter to begin. So with this new chapter that you have today, how are you going to follow the gospel? How are you going to seek the truth to its core of who Jesus is and where Jesus calls you to follow with grace and love and mercy for all people. Let us pray. Gracious God, Christ is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And it is a way that we seek to walk, a truth that we seek to know and understand in a life that is truly like none other. Help us to seek to know Christ, to understand Christ, to have Christ living within us in such a way that Christ lives through us and others are able to see him through the way that we talk, walk, and live. We give you thanks for all that you have done for us, all the gifts that you have given us, and all the ways that you love us unconditionally. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.